Hey everybody, how's it going? This is Matt here. We have a fun episode today. This one's kind of neat. So what we're trying to do is we're on the road right now for the 10th anniversary tour of The Question, Toby and I are. So we thought we could sit down with Josh and Dave on the tour bus to make an episode and have Joey phone in and that we could talk about that. Now, something interesting happened, and this is an episode where we kind of had a train wreck and we weren't doing a good job, and then it got a little stale, and then we got into a fight even about how we should make the episode better. And so we thought instead of editing that out like we normally would, we would just set it up here and let you hear what happens when we get into a jam or when we do a bad job. And hopefully that'll be entertaining to you. Now, if you're not into that and you don't want to hear some boring minutes of podcast, just go ahead right now and fast forward to 21 minutes. That's when all that stuff is over and we reset the episode and start over and give you what we normally would have given you post edit. So what happens here basically is we get into off to kind of a bad start, and then we get off track really quickly, and then nobody's saying anything, and then I figure, hey, this is just gonna get cut anyway, so I didn't contribute at all. And then Toby tries to push through and he does a really great job and tries to rally everybody and get them back into it, but he does so in a very aggressive way, and then it kind of winds up turning into a fight. Now, seriously, the next 15 or 20 minutes of the show are going to be boring and they're going to be awkward. So you're going to have to sit through that, but I hope you'll be interested. It really is not going to be good, but we just want to give you the chance here. Okay, now there's one other thing I want to tell you about, and that is that the Emory record is out. And so we wanted to give you an extra special bonus for any Bad Christian listeners that may not have gotten it or would like to get it for somebody else. If you go to youwereneveralone.com, you can order the CD, the physical CD from Emory. You'll get an instant digital download, and then as your CDs will be shipped to you. Now, you can get it for 20% off if you use the promo code BCPOD. Again, that's youwereneveralone.com, Emory CD, out now. Promo code BCPOD. All right. Hope you guys enjoy this funny, awkward, and weird episode. And then, sure enough, after about 20 minutes, we really get into talking about The Question and things go really well. And I hope you'll enjoy that reminiscent stuff.
You are now entering the Bad Christian Podcast.
Okay, welcome to the Bad Christian Podcast, everybody.
Welcome to the Bad Christian Podcast.
This is Matt. We have we're listening to that 8-bit stuff.
I know,
so let's
love
talk
it.
About that and say, I'm going to tell everybody who's in the room right now, you've just joined Emory on the tour bus on tour. So for the first time, landmark occasion, we have Josh Head on the podcast.
Josh was actually in Australia with the Norma Jean.
Yeah, but, you know, more featured here.
But he was very shy.
I was in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
he had diarrhea.
I had terrible diarrhea.
We've got Dave Powell. Dave, tell him what's up.
What's up, guys?
I was in my contract.
And we have Joey Svensson joining over the telephone. Joey, tell him what's up.
Which is amazing.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
You sound like you're right next door.
Yeah. Technology.
Man,
you sound like
so
you're
cool
in the room with us.
Technology
it's
works.
It's like, yeah, I could hear a pin drop.
All right. So that was Freddie Mercury on that 8-bit stuff. So that's awesome. It's crazy because we have the 8-bit. We used the 8-bit thing for the theme song of this podcast from Butcher's Mouth. And now we're out doing the Question 10th year anniversary tour. And we're having somebody make for us. I'm not making it, by the way.
Right.
We have somebody making for us all these 8-bit versions of every single song on The Question. I played some of them on Break It Down.
Yep.
And we'll have them all soon. We're already through 6 of them now that we have in our possession. And we're going to release the whole thing, maybe do it for free or whatever. But it's kind of a blast hearing that Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, like it. The only thing is I didn't want to like spoil everything, but I've been working really hard. I'm actually doing a 5-bit Question.
I heard about that.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's going to be a lot different than the 8-bit. You get it faster.
Now, I don't know if everybody knows or not, but 8-bit is like that's from
I have no idea what that means.
Nintendo. It's from like when
what does 8-bit mean?
It's a resolution.
Totally
it's a resolution
Nintendo.
Of the It was from the digital when Nintendo
What does that mean? I have no idea what the resolution means. When you tell me about a song and the resolution.
Okay, so it's like the audio version of pixels. So you know the resolution of an image, if it was really pixelated, it would be lower resolution. So it would be block, 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 block. And so it's the audio version of that. So you can't have these really high fidelity, crystal clear sounds. It's these blocky, low, it's not lo-fi exactly, but it's low resolution sounds. And that's what you couldn't have like a clear vocal or a clear crystal clear guitar part on a
vocals.
Nintendo cartridge audio.
Yeah, Joey, what do you think about that?
That's why your vocals sound so weird in 8-bit. That's why no one can understand you, Toby.
I've never sang an 8-bit.
Do y'all remember the do y'all remember the tune of Mike Tyson's Punch Out?
Yeah.
The 8-bit.
Y'all remember that?
That's good.
Hey,
that's not, did y'all ever beat? Actually called, it got changed to Punch Out because of some a misunderstanding Mike Tyson had with some legal trouble, and they changed.
Did y'all ever beat Mike Tyson?
Well, I never once beat Mike Tyson.
No,
I tried so many times. There was a code and go all the way to
Mike Tyson so many times, but it was too late, man. Like, there used to be a craze where you could take a picture of the screen and then send it in and actually get like a prize and stuff. But I was beating Mike Tyson up after the fact.
I think you're making that up.
Game.
Yeah, I guarantee you got like a cheat code. Remember when there was Nintendo Magazine? You probably found it on there, didn't you?
Nintendo Power.
You knew a cheat code.
Hey, you know what? If y'all don't want to believe me, you don't want to believe me. There's no up, up, down, down, left, right with Mike Tyson. It's you.
No, but there was a process of how to beat him.
Huh?
There was like a process. You could figure it out, and they would say, do this, hit. Yeah, pattern.
He had a very quick punch, and you had to dodge it, period. I didn't read anything. Y'all don't, I don't care. I don't need y'all's validation. Y'all just talk to my brother.
Hey,
all right.
Yeah, I'm going to call your brother tomorrow and ask him, but honestly, your brother's going to say you're full of shit.
All right, so
hey,
we're going to...
The sound quality is horrible, just letting you guys know.
Does it sound 8-bit?
I missed some things. It's just really, really bad.
Well, do you want me to turn it down or up?
It's just... it needs to go up, but it's very distorted.
All right, time out.
Time out, everybody.
Time out.
Dave, what do you
got
to say, buddy?
Loudest,
hey, while we're taking a time out, we're going to take a time out and help Joey with the sound, but Dave is here. He's present. Tell us what's going on, man.
Hey, everybody.
I mean, you've had a couple beers. You should be relaxed. What's going on? Just tell people what's going on.
That's a pretty tough setup.
No, he doesn't have to be funny. He doesn't have to be crazy. Just say what is going on.
We're hanging out here in Asheville.
Ashland.
Asheville, North Carolina? What?
Ashland. Sorry.
You got to put the microphone right in front of your face.
I'll tell you.
Talk right into it. Make it touching your face when you talk.
Okay. Touch your face.
I'll just tell you.
Touch your face with it.
What I was doing a few minutes ago, and I just thought of Matt because it was funny. So.
Touch your face with the
push
mic.
Push the microphone into your face and
like
talk
this.
Into it.
It's touching.
Okay, there you go.
Now it is.
You talk with it touching your face.
I'm doing it right now.
You do it when you talk.
I put my face in the microphone
like
and talk
this.
So you can hear it.
I'm so far my ass. I don't know if you don't understand what I'm saying.
Watch me do it.
Well,
watch the
J-Man
and learn something.
I've been on this.
Hey, everybody, real quickly before Dave starts, Josh is on Tinder and he's only swiping right. Go ahead, Dave.
Well.
In
you
Asheville,
can edit
North
this
Carolina.
If it's boring. If it's boring, so
we'll edit it for sure.
I been listening to a bunch of straight
boring,
a bunch of music that I listened to probably 10 years ago, including the Mars Volta and Dillinger Escape Plan. I was just listening to these drummers, and then lots of their roots are with like Buddy Rich. So I was in the bunk just a few minutes ago reading about Buddy Rich, and I thought it was really funny in the 80s. So I guess he was known for being a big dick, and in the 80s. His piano player, I'm not sure, it was on Wikipedia, hit a video camera or an audio recorder because he was really mean, and people like thought he was like he was really mean to all his musicians. He threatened to fire them all the time. And then I was reading about it, and
it's like Matt,
and it Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld heard some of those, and they used them in some of their episodes.
Really?
Yeah. And I found these three lines. I think these are the names. So according to Wikipedia, these recordings long circulated in bootleg form. Have done much to fuel the reputation of Rich's personality. The tapes were popular with comedians Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, who used three quotes from them more or less verbatim on Seinfeld. And the quotes are, if I tell you again, we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like. This is what he's saying to his band members. And then this
awesome.
One was really funny. I've never seen
really cool.
these episodes, but this line is very funny, especially thinking Buddy Rich said this to one of his musicians. This guy... This is not my kind of guy. And then,
that's cool.
Then let's see how he does up there without all the assistants. That was it. But anyways, I thought that was really cool. And that was in the 80s, and I think he died in he didn't die much thereafter. So that was like when he was kind of old and jaded. I was like, that's cool. So,
I mean, how can those people not be like back? When I think back to musicians and people in entertainment back then, when there was no internet and all that stuff, I mean, I just think that they had to be just insane. I mean, I think their egos and everything, just they, it could just run amok.
Oh, because you could get away with anything because it's not likely record. I mean, it's really hard for that to.
I mean, the recordings of Buddy Rich, they got three quotes. Yeah, right. I mean, think about that now if somebody was that wild and crazy.
Yeah,
if
somebody
I mean?
Comes and hangs out on our bus with a smartphone or something, we're in big trouble.
I have five quotes on the internet.
Five.
Joey, what'd you think about it?
We lost him.
Joey, do we have you?
He fell
asleep. You know he was lying down, so you know he's asleep right
Are
now.
Are you there, Joey?
Joseph. Benson.
All right. Well, that's probably it for the night. What happened to Joey?
Joey.
Did his phone die? Maybe he didn't plug his phone.
I had him on here.
Did you hit the speaker?
Joey, are you there?
Yeah.
Did you
Where
hear
were
us?
You?
What just happened?
Have you been hearing us talking or what?
No, not at all.
Why wouldn't you say something?
When
I just texted and said, what's the deal? Because I haven't heard anything.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Dolby, baby.
Do you hear us talking?
Dolby surround.
Do you hear us right now?
We're in Dolby surround.
Right now. I just didn't hear you for the last...
How about right now? Do you hear me right now?
He probably doesn't hear my mic, I bet.
There's absolutely nothing coming through.
He's not hearing me unless it's on speaker, and then he can't hear us.
Huh. You hear me, Joey?
Svensson.
Hello?
He doesn't hear us at all right now.
Well.
Hello?
Reschedule.
I don't have any idea why.
I can hear you now. Y'all keep going out. What's the deal?
You can only hear it from the computer thing.
Mm. Yes.
That's just you hearing on the phone, though. It's not on mics. Now he doesn't hear us.
Can you hear me? Can you hear us right now? Can you hear me?
That is weird. What's up?
He can't. He's not gonna be able to hear. That's what we couldn't do.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. I'll listen and I'll be able to hear what y'all have to say. So,
hold on.
Whatever quality is
good.
Try one more way. Do you hear us? Hold on.
Yeah, I'm
plugged. All right, Joey. Tell me, how about this? Is this better?
Do you hear us? Do you hear us?
How about right now?
You hear us,
Joey?
Svensson.
Joey.
Hello.
Joey.
Joey.
We don't got that.
Joey,
you
hear us? Hello? Yes.
So we don't got it.
All right, let's just do it tomorrow. All
right. Canceled.
Yeah, we're done.
Why?
It's just not working out.
You can't hear us.
We got to get a different cable or something.
But I can hear y'all when y'all are like this.
Didn't it happen when you added an extra mic, though? Did it work before?
If he's recording himself and we can hear him here, then let's just roll.
Party.
Cool.
All right, so, Joey, we've been talking for a long time, and because of technical difficulties, you haven't heard anything we've said. So, what time is it where you're at right now?
It's 12:30.
Is this the latest you've been up in how many years?
Come on, man. No.
What do you do when you stay up late? Why do you stay up late?
I mean, watching a movie, staying up late, and having some recreational time with my wife.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Describe.
Just like spending time at a playground super late.
Oh, that's
cool.
That sounds fun.
There's sometimes when I'll seriously go to bed and then fall asleep for an hour. I mean, this is seriously maybe 4 times a year. Maybe 6 times a year, and I'll go to sleep for an hour, and then I'll wake up, and I'm like, there's no way I'm ever going to go back to sleep. And so I'll just get up and work on stuff, work ahead, that sort of thing. But no, I mean, I Toby, when you're home, you go to bed way earlier than me all the time.
So. That's not true.
No, it's very much so true.
I go to bed, but I don't go to sleep. I like laying in bed and watching movies and hanging out.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That's not what you say, but oh, I'm going to bed. Stop texting. Like, this group text is out of hand. I'm going to bed. Please leave me alone.
Hey, what's it like to be dumb as shit?
Who are you talking to, Josh or Dave right now?
I'm talking to Dave.
Okay.
Well, we don't have anything to talk about. That's what's really sad.
Hey,
can y'all
seriously confirm Toby's text message that Andy Nichols is going to be playing bass and singing in a wheelchair? Is that true?
So that is that's a really good point to bring up, Joey. So we played our second show of the Question Tour, which is why we're on a bus right now and not near you. I'm not near you. During our second show, which was going amazing, during the second song, apparently Andy Nichols, the youngest guy on tour, blew out his Achilles tendon. And so we have to take him to an orthopedic surgeon for review in the next day or two.
That's true.
Dave, what do you think about
it? Is he in agony right now? Like, is he on crutches or what?
We were at a hospital last night till about 2 a.m. figuring this out, and it is a nightmare. So there is a greater than 80% chance that Andy is going to stay on this tour and be in a wheelchair on stage.
So is he going to have to get major surgery now?
I don't know what major is, but there is a really good chance he'll have to have surgery for sure. I don't know anything about Achilles heels, but apparently there was like a whole movie made about it.
Yeah, and there's a whole album by Dave Bazan on it too.
Yep. Well, Joey, right now it's just you and me talking. Yep. Matt is dumbfounded. He's a fucking retard. Josh is a fucking retard. Dave is a fucking retard.
I don't know anything about sports injuries.
Or about podcasting or being funny.
Yeah.
Hey,
hold on. Josh, be funny. Dave, be funny. Matt, be funny. Matt, be funny. Say something funny. This is your time. People are listening to you right now.
Toby,
be not talking to Toby. You're missing the point. Matt, there's millions of people listening right now. Be entertaining.
No, I'm not. I'm irritated. I'm trying
Josh,
to figure out how to make
Josh,
it. Figure out how to get on the right track. So
Matt,
we'll figure
Matt's
out in
not,
a few
Matt's
minutes.
Not helping.
And then we
Matt's
can
not
jump
helping.
Back in.
Matt's
so
not helping.
10 years ago,
boring. Go ahead, Josh.
So 10 years ago, we were made the question, and that's what tour we're on. So I think that's what we were trying to talk about.
Dave, can you fart again?
Yeah, fart again.
I'm sorry.
Hey, let me ask
y'all.
Just
take a second. Just figure it out.
Take a second. We're done.
Okay.
Not going to take a second. What are we taking a second to do?
Well, I'm just saying we don't have nothing.
I know, but if you're not
going to
join
far
in and try.
I'm going to. I'm trying to come up with an idea of a way
for
to
what?
Do it.
I mean, we're trying.
I'm totally willing to try. We just got to start over and then try to try. I'm okay with
it.
I'm saying
okay.
So far, obviously,
right, let's do
nothing
it. Do
usable.
It. Tell us what to do.
So.
That's not true. That's not true. See, sometimes you guys don't – y'all don't like rawness. Now, if we couldn't put out a podcast like this every single time – but nobody wants the same stuff every time. This is actually decent material. I don't care what anybody says. People are yelling at each other. Toby's calling people pieces of shit and retards.
I
and
agree.
Challenging them to be funny. This is perfect.
I agree.
So,
Matt's not
ask,
going with
sorry,
it.
Sorry, I know.
Wants to
I
come
understand.
Up with some plan
Toby's angry at me because
I'm not angry.
I'm trying
to draw
to.
You
I'm
in.
I'm going to.
Just do anything.
Sorry, we're off. I just don't. I'm trying. I all right,
so we're still rolling.
We don't need.
Let's just make it raw. Let's just talk about that.
We're not editing it. We're not editing it. Matt is angry. He's.
I'm not
older,
angry. I'm
you're
trying
older,
to figure out
fatter,
what to
do. And grizzled, and you want to have some kind of plan. And Joey and I are saying,
I understand what you're
roll
doing.
With the punches.
I understand what you're
come
doing.
Come back in. I'm yep. not. You know, you don't understand what I'm doing. You have some level of anger which I didn't have. I'm trying to push us to do something. I'm making fun of you.
Okay.
You actually are getting mad.
Sorry.
Once again, dead air. Yeah. You are terrible right now.
I'm not good at it.
You are
I'm
awful.
Sorry.
Even right now. Even right now, this is awful.
I understand
what
you're
can
saying.
You do to improve your personality
I don't
and be
know.
Funnier?
I'm working on it. I'm
you're
trying.
Not working on it. You're deading and ending us. You tell us that we dead end sometimes, that okay. we don't do things. Do not dead ending.
All right, so
wonderful job, Matt Carter.
Give me a chance. I don't okay, know. Okay. I mean, obviously, I'm sorry.
Joey,
I apologize.
Joey, Dave. Josh, we're going to give Matt a chance. Go ahead.
Dave, what's your favorite song on the question?
Oh.
Josh, what's your favorite song on the question?
The Week's End.
Toby, what's your favorite song on the question? What is that about?
If I could remember, then I would love to say the answer to that. I don't remember any names of the songs on the question.
Reset. Let's try that again. Check, check.
All right, well, there you go. There you have it. You see some behind the scenes, how the sausage is made there. I really appreciate y'all sitting through that 15 or 20 minutes of what that was. Hope it gives you a good idea and is a treat. So it's traveling, scheduling, editing, being tired, other jobs. Sometimes it really is difficult to summon the energy to make stuff really be good and be professional is what I'm saying. But it's all good. And then the funniest thing is, as soon as we got done recording, we got up and Dave immediately began to tell some hilarious stories as soon as he took his headphones off. And we're like, Dave, what in the world is going on? You should have obviously done that while we were making the episode. So we sat right back down, got back into it, and started with Dave telling some stories, and then everything got really smooth. So that's where we're going to start this time. We'll be re-entering the Bad Christian Podcast, and you get a whole episode put together the way that we think it ought to go. So, thank you guys for listening and, you know, wanting to hear what the real us is like. You want me to do it again?
Nope. Funny you should say that. I have two vivid memories from recording the question. One is...
Say it like you just said. I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you there. Say, hey, Toby, do you remember just like you said to him? Stand up.
Stand up. Stand
fuck
up,
Dave.
Stand
just
up,
get
Dave.
Just get back to what stand you up. Just you didn't get to tell him the story.
Stand yeah. up and tell the story,
Dave's
wearing a shirt you douchebag.
That's his best dad ever.
Okay.
All right. Tell us douchebag story.
All right. Toby, do you remember? Well, my
yo, you're good. You're rolling. Get the mic
up. This is a fact for sure. One of my favorite or
damn
most
it.
Vivid memories of the question. Was after we were tracking, and you and I weren't even super close for a while anyway, yeah. So we've already talked about that. But
right.
So this is right after I joined the band 19, and then you are talking about how you cannot get drunk anymore. it's later in the day, and you said, you were talking, you and
well,
Matt.
So I actually stopped you and talked to you about that.
No, well, you were in dialogue, you and Matt were talking, and you were telling Matt that you were certain you had 17 or 18 beers, and I swear, I'm certain, 100%.
No way.
17 or 18
you
beers?
You said that, and then Matt said just what he said. He said, no way, and then you guys were debating that. You know, that and then you
because
said,
that's exaggeration is why. Well, and then of course, I'm going to debate that. He did not have 17 or 18 beers, and I'm not trying to protect his image. I'm simply saying he didn't have 17 or 18 beers.
So your first like hanging out time, like I'm trying to bro down with these guys, get into the, you know, into this culture or whatever, was me telling y'all that I could not get drunk.
Meaning
that
if we had
17 or 18 beers.
Meaning that if we had Miller High Life cases, you could drink that unlimited, and it's so you just it couldn't affect you.
That is amazing.
Have you been drunk in the last 10 years? Has it been? Is it? Is that true? You haven't been able to get wasted in that long.
Is it or isn't? Isn't it true you have been drunk?
I haven't
isn't
been
that,
drunk since I met
true.
Dave.
But on top of that, though, it's not like, especially when you think of a drunk person anyways, even me at 19, you think, oh, he's drunk. Toby certainly did not look drunk
no,
or
yeah.
intoxicated in the slightest.
I don't think
I didn't
was.
Even know to think.
I still believe that. Like there was a certain time where all of a sudden my tolerance level just went out the roof, and that was it. I mean, yeah. I'm out
well,
the window.
The whole thing about that album that was funny is recording that. It's like the music I remember, all that stuff, but I completely remember it from Dave's point of view, being like a kid
right.
joining this band, being 19, and we were right in Capitol Hill in Seattle yeah. at this super fancy studio and staying at this nice place, and just it was just like a totally, you know, I thought it was awesome to me. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to Dave, and we were just doing a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, we'd record music for half the day, and we'd clown around for half the day.
Like, for you, it must have just, like, you were in other, you know, a band that was even kind of did a little bit of this or that or whatever. But, I mean, it immediately got real. Like, all of a sudden, you're at a studio flying out to Seattle from your hometown to record a record for after the first record had done so good. I mean, it had to be like that. That was intense, right?
Yeah, it was intense. It was awesome.
What else do you remember funny that we wouldn't remember from it? Like stupid
stuff
we said.
Well, I'm certain you remember it, but another good memory was you and I were clowning. So the compound where we recorded it had a balcony up.
Had an apartment upstairs.
Apartment, yeah, but then it had a big-ass balcony downtown Seattle. So I don't know what prompted us to do it, but we had lots of meat that, like hot dogs. Yeah. We had lots of hot dogs meat, and brats. So Matt and I started, I think I was a ringleader of this too. I don't know for whatever reason. Maybe I'm wrong. So we started throwing like brats and stuff at people walking and then like hiding and just clowning. But
throwing sausages at homeless people?
I don't know if they were homeless necessarily, but they were like, you know, they were walking around.
I do remember that. Yeah, I know that there was a water cooler in the – I know it's weird because I could talk about, we recorded with this microphone or that. But what I remember is there was a 5-gallon water jug, mm-hmm. like a water cooler, like at an office there. And I made 5 gallons of sweet tea and put it in the water cooler in the apartment.
It was awesome.
So it became
awesome.
A big
one. We did that a couple times.
Yeah, I did. So it was So it was a water dispenser thing of sweet tea instead of water.
I also remember I used to give Dave my ID so he could go to the bar and drink.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
At 19 years old.
The cha-cha? Or?
Yeah, the cha-cha.
Yeah.
At 19. Because I didn't drink then. Because I'm Christian.
That's right.
That was cool.
But you would break the law for your friends.
Oh yeah, for my friends, yeah.
No matter how Christian you were. Yeah.
Well, we certainly lose a lot of that kind of stories now because, you know, basically the studio experience this time around is I was in, like I always say, my wife's closet looking at her blouses while I'm tracking the guitar. So not quite the same amount of magic as it used to be.
Another time, if I can say one more.
One more. Dave, you're on fire.
Yeah, and I even
this
said
is the best you've ever lose.
Actually, two of these stories
so
I even mentioned in the last week, but I don't know who I was telling. We were driving yesterday in Capitol Hill, but Devin and I were taking a break while we were recording, and we walked, and I was just thinking about this yesterday, how strange it seemed. We actually walked to a Blockbuster video, and we rented The Village, and we watched it. And we watched it on Brandon Ebel's big screen TV, which at the time, of course, I thought was nice. Do you remember that big screen TV?
Yeah,
if you saw that now, you'd find that at Goodwill for $10. So, and that is not very long ago. So,
10 years.
10 years, I guess.
I mean, in the time we've been a band, technology has changed unbelievable to make us. Yeah. I mean, the things that we started to do with our band are now obsolete almost.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
like the formats. And the things that we did and the way that we recorded is obsolete.
Hey, when we were first recording, there were, in the studios we were in, there were DAT recorders. That didn't mean anything to a lot of people.
That didn't mean anything to me. I don't even know.
I mean, when we first started doing demo, when the first stuff that we were doing as a band,
DAT.
It was crazy that somebody had a CD burner. Like, a CD burner was crazy.
I mean, seriously, when we started, we had to figure out a company that would burn all these CDs. I mean, I know CDs are still somewhat relevant, but I mean, that's almost gone.
Yeah, our first band, we had tapes. I've had tapes of stuff.
I mean, well, our demos that we made were on your what kind of recorder did
Roland.
You use? Yeah.
Yeah, it was on a Roland digital. Before that was 4-track cassette, and then when we first made our first local band that I was in high school when we started playing, we made cassettes. I mean, yeah. Okay, let's take a real quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll do questions about the question. All right, in addition to being Emory's release week, I have a big congratulations that I want to give to our friends in Silverstein. Their record came out this week as well. Their record is called I Am Alive and Everything I Touch. So I have another song I want to play for you from their album. This one's called Milestone.
I am alive and everything I touch. Another milestone, another day is gone. We refuse communication and just run off.
All right, and that was Milestone by Silverstein. Their new record, I'm Alive and Everything I Touch, came out this week. It's out right now. You can get it anywhere. But a great thing to do is to support a band by buying directly from them. For them, you go to SilversteinMusic.com and check out their packages. They have a bunch of stuff. They have tons of different options, all the way from the digital download to hoodies, vinyl, everything good. And again, congratulations to Silverstein. So go check it out, SilversteinMusic.com.
One thing that we would like to take a moment to talk about is our sponsor for this episode, Best Sex Life Now, and they talk about penises and vaginas and how to use them. And it's our good friends Craig and Jeanette, and they have created an awesome resource for you folks, and we want to tell you about it because people who are married, and this is for you married folks out there, if you're not married and you're having sex, it's probably No, it is definitely detrimental to you. So we have a resource for you. They have created this awesome thing that we want to tell you about that will help you in your marriage to be a little bit more free to talk about sex. It is an opportunity for couples to be a little bit more open about their sex life because we know and have experienced talking with tons of our friends and people that listen to this podcast that it is hard to talk about sex, especially to your spouse. Sometimes you're so busy with your kids or your jobs or your life that sex kind of gets put under all this other stuff. And so this is just a great opportunity to take some time, be present, because sex is a gift from God and is meant to be shared between a man and a woman. And this is your opportunity to really enjoy it, to have the best sex life now. Sex life. This is my Southern accent coming out. Best sex life now. So we really want to encourage you guys to check this out. Matt, can you tell them a little bit more about how to find out about it?
What you got to do is you go to badchristian.com/best sex life now. It's a great thing. It costs less than even one counseling session that you would have for marriage counseling or family therapy or something like that. And it's by people that you and we trust, Craig and Jeanette Gross. They're just talking. They're just doing stuff. So go to badchristian.com/best sex life now. Also, with just doing that ad read right there, with doing our sponsor spot, I realize I'm back. I just needed something programmatic to get me
Holy
back
shit.
In. I'm 100% back right now.
Wow. So what do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry for being irritated earlier. So we'll do that on air instead of after the show's over. I'll say, sorry, I do get in a funk when I think, well, this is unusable crap,
right,
which is what is going through my mind. So I'm thinking, well, we're going to have to redo this anyway.
Sure.
And then I say, oh, wait, Toby thinks this is actually usable stuff.
Yep.
So then I have to, all right. But to me, I'm thinking, wait, this is junk. But understandable, so only apologies for me.
Hey.
Now, we're going to move to something that's a little more programmed, that's maybe more comfortable for me, but we've got questions to take from listeners. And
hey, I
want to
say
people,
no apology necessary. I can tell by your boner that you're excited right now.
So I'm back. So we have a bunch of questions from listeners and readers and stuff like that. So we took this episode, since Josh and Dave are here, and we got a bunch of questions based on just our music and the questions. So, Joey, is it okay with you if we talk about some music stuff a little bit? We'll let you weigh in.
Yeah, sure, man. I actually like music more than you guys do, so yes.
Okay, so this will be...
Hey, your mom has sex with your dad all the time.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
And it's amazing.
All right, so question.
She yells.
So question, the first question we have here is from Joshua on Facebook. And he asks, he says, on the question, my favorite part about it is the drums. What were the drums that you used on that record? And so we'll let Dave answer that question.
That was a real question?
Yep, from Joshua from Facebook.
Why did you ask
me
that?
It was a drum question. I was happy. We used a Malasco drum set. Which was built by Aaron Malasco from Seattle, which is actually for sale right now. So if you're interested, inquire about it. A red Malasco kit, 13-inch snare drum. Actually, we
No, that's what I that's something I'm interested in. If you recall, maybe you don't, on that record, that kit was built by Aaron Malasco.
Right.
And he was also drum tech.
He was
record,
a drum tech,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Additionally, he brought tons of snare drums. We had a ton. We used a different snare drum on every single song on the whole record,
The most distinct one from the record, too, was for Freddie Mercury. That was a 6-lug snare drum. I've never seen one, and beforehand and since I recorded it with that, I've never seen one since.
It was so, real heavy too.
Like, yeah, it was really heavy. I think it was 14 by 6.5, super heavy.
Now, what's a normal lug amount on a snare?
I think it's, is it 10
There's
or 12?
There's 8 and 10.
Eight and 10.
What the hell is a lug?
The things you tighten.
Now, Toby, do you recognize, I mean, you may or may not remember, but you think listening to something like The Question, and I think to the average listener out there, do you think that it's at all possible that they can hear the difference in the snare drum's sound and tone on different songs? Because we went out of our way to use different snare drum on every song. Does it matter?
Man, this...
Do you even know that's of the case, like from your point of view, Toby?
Okay, if you're asking me, I could never possibly have ever thought that y'all used a different snare. Yeah. I would have thought it no matter what. I believe that probably drummers or somebody like Matt or maybe Josh even who plays drums could tell a difference maybe, but I think maybe you even kind of want to.
Well,
yeah, that sounds different.
But I think the mix is a big deal because Matt and I were talking earlier today about The Terrible Secret, who was mixed by Randy Staub.
Yeah.
And who's a big-time producer.
He mixed like Nickelback, and he was engineer on the Black album.
And that snare sounds really different. And then JR mixed a lot of it as well. And every JR mix has a really similar snare drum sound, regardless of the
that'd be JR McNeely.
Drum.
So yeah. One thing that happens is
so the mix. I think
sometimes
the
mixers
has their preference.
add samples to it, which takes away from the original kind of thing on that. But
yeah,
so that was that question. So we got another question here, and it is from Rachel J, and she asks. You started out with The Week's End and was a wildly successful album. Were you guys afraid of having a sophomore slump? And because that clearly didn't happen with The Question.
I was a little bit afraid about that because I thought, well, maybe this will be really bad. But I also, at the exact same time, had confidence that The Week's End had done so good. So I just thought, yeah, we're going to do good again. Uh-huh. It was a weird thing that I had. I almost felt like 50-50 on it. And also with The Question.
Like you weren't confident The Question would be a home run?
Well, the reason why is because The Week's End came out and then we started touring Unbelievable. So with The Question, we worked forever to try and get signed and work on this record. And it was literally like a year or two in process. And then we started touring Unbelievable, and then we had to write The Question in 1 month and then record it the next month, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and so I thought, this can't be that great if you just spent the record before that did so well, you know, we spent forever on, and now this one we spent way less time on because this is all we have, but then it worked out.
I guess I had no doubt about it. Like, I had no fear of being – because the sophomore slump, if people don't know, that means, like –
right.
You come out, your first album is awesome, and then you get whatever, and you make another album, and you're a one. Basically, it would be that you were a one-hit wonder. That's
right.
What it would mean to have a sophomore slump is you come out with something else, and it bombs or whatever. But I remember being in the studio and working with Sprinkle, and the label was so big on Emory at that time that, like, I felt as the artist probably overly coddled. Like, I felt like everybody was telling us how good it was and how good it was going to be. So maybe that was false, but I felt totally secure.
Hey, Joey, to bring you in on this, was your second sermon really bad?
Did you have a sophomore slump on your sermon?
I'm not going to answer that question, but I do want to ask
Why won't you answer
y'all
that question? Are you scared to answer that question?
Do y'all remember the prophecy that I spoke over Emory?
No.
No, what was it?
I do.
I actually told you guys, this is before y'all were even signed, I said, I really do believe that, I don't know how big you're going to get, but you're going to get at least big enough to where when people talk about their favorite bands, it could possibly go something like, yeah, my favorite bands are Emory, you know, Jimmy Eat World, and Taking Back Sunday. And I think, Matt, at one point you remembered me saying that, and you're just like, man, that's crazy. Like, that is how some people talk about Emory. But I think what's crazy is how unlikely that was in y'all's minds going out there. I think I honestly dropping out of the band, and when you guys went out there, I think I was, I don't know, this seems really pompous, but I think maybe I was even more confident than you guys. Like, I almost found it impossible for y'all to go out there and not make a big splash.
It's kind of similar to when I prophesied over you that one day you'd have gastric bypass surgery.
And, yeah, multiple kidney stones, and it happened.
You remember that when I prophesied over you that would happen?
Remember when I prophesied over your marriage not making it?
My God.
Actually, you remember you saying that.
Oh, my Lord.
Terrible. All right, do you want another question? We got a few, several more.
Yeah, hey, I've got a really good question. What kind of bass strings does Andy use? That's interesting.
Let's move on to the next question.
Good.
Okay.
I don't care about what kind of drums
they're called Slinky.
Dave plays.
Great question.
I just know that Dave is a kick-ass drummer. Is anything else important? I mean, Dave, you're unbelievable. You're one of the best drummers I've ever seen in my life. I think you're a great father. I think you're a great husband. I think you're probably the best friend Matt and Toby and Josh will ever have. And I just put you up on the same level as our current president of the United States.
Wow. Wow. Dave, what do you have to say about that?
I'm flattered. I'm speechless. Thanks.
All right, next question.
But that wasn't a question.
All right.
No, next question.
All right, next question is one that came in on Twitter, and it's from Raheem M. Oh. And he says,
I think the last – there's a lot of M's this time.
I know. I don't say their last names because I don't want them to act. You know what I mean? I just say the initial. I say the first name and then last
name. So what's this one's name?
Raheem.
Raheem.
Yeah. M. And so he asks, he says, my favorite part of all your albums is the screaming, but I can't ever tell who does the screaming on which part. Are there any parts on the question that Josh screams?
Josh,
that's what people ask. Like, they know. They see. I mean, because on all of our albums, it's Devin, Toby, me, Josh. We all do different screaming.
Josh
different
says he doesn't remember. More importantly, why don't you remember?
Yeah, that's more. The memory loss is more of an issue.
I know. Songs
what else don't you remember? What else don't you? What do you remember? The last 10 years, what do you remember? You don't remember screaming yes or no on the question. No. What do you remember, Josh?
You don't remember screaming on the question at all?
I don't remember what.
Do you know if you did or not?
I think I did.
You screamed on Misbehaving.
Yeah, Misbehaving.
Misbehaving, yeah. For sure. That's what I was
thinking.
That
was your debut. That was a big one.
Josh wasn't originally a screamer in our band at all. He was just keys.
Well, Josh and Dave technically joined between the week's end and the question. Both of them did. Because on the week's end, it was before Josh
was
in the band.
Yeah, that's
right. And then when we had the question, we had both Dave and Josh. So we came right there in the studio. And we originally, when we started recording and writing for the question, was before Dave was in the band and Josh was playing drums.
Yep.
Do you remember that? Playing drums?
That. Yeah, you're welcome, Dave.
Yeah. He said, okay, speaking of Misbehaving.
I actually, Joey might be your favorite drummer.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Josh is one of Dave's favorite, Joey's favorite drummer. So I remember this, when we were writing the song Misbehaving, Josh was on drums originally. So that whole part of that song where it gets going and everything, we jammed that out in a rehearsal space with Josh on the drums. So Josh both wrote drums and screamed on that song. So it's probably Josh's one of his largest input songs on any of Emery song.
I think I was the first person to ever do that.
To do what? Scream and play drums?
For practice, yeah.
I do it all.
Okay, I have a question.
Oh, yeah. Wait, for you? So you're going to take away a listener question to ask a Toby question? Yeah,
this is a listener question. I also have access to the internet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Which is cool.
A lot of people ask us stuff all the time about Aaron Sprinkle because he has worked on several of our albums.
Yep.
So we were able to work with Aaron Sprinkle, and people want to know what was the process like. That was our first record with Aaron Sprinkle.
Yep.
We recorded The Week's End with Ed Rose. So we did with Aaron Sprinkle. What was the process like, and what was it like working with him? Because obviously we worked with him again and again and again. So what was it that he did that was so great that made us – turn back to him so many times?
I could answer that a million times, but I'll let Josh or Dave do that if they have something they want to say on that.
I think it's just being comfortable, and his opinions are very good and make
now
sense.
Are you making this up because you actually don't remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't remember being uncomfortable.
Right. So. Dave, what's your answer?
I don't know. I think lots of Aaron's magic was kind of happening behind the scenes, but I really enjoyed Aaron's company and always
like producer, whatever, but dude was cool.
I'm saying he has some sort of presence where it's like, I want to impress, I want to do good. And
I mean, what did you feel going into there? Because that was your first big record you'd ever worked on.
Yeah, I was very nervous. And then also Malasco was in there too, and he was a big, big shot drum tech. So they were both watching. And
so you were intimidated by your drum tech?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then
I get super nervous when my guitar tech watches me on stage.
He was a super, what'd you call Malesko, a big shot drum tech.
He like,
you're recording a record.
He was like teching for Pearl Jam. I was 19, and he's like Pearl Jam's drum tech and all this.
When you say nervous to record the drums, were you not confident in what you would play?
No, I was confident.
What was the anxiety there?
Honestly, it all had to do with playing to a click. That was my first time with the other hardcore bands I was in before. We would record it live, and the recordings were great, and we had no click, so that was all that was on my mind is just having
with it.
Playing to a computer.
You thought you could fail?
I don't know. It was just new to me. I was just scared. So I got into it. I mean, it took a little bit longer than I thought, but I got over the hump. But it's just different for me to play. You know, you grow up wanting to be in a band and play music, and then you're playing to a computer.
Apologize for the siren going by. Keep on.
Sorry about that, guys.
We are okay.
That was our bass player, Andy. He had to be airlifted because of his Achilles.
I do remember during a win-win situation, though, we were tracking that, and you remember how the compound set up, you could see, or the way it used to be set up, the main room was out front.
Yeah.
So I saw Malesko. He left for a little bit, then came back in. And we were playing win-win, so I was trying to impress him. So I remember while we're tracking, just for the recording, that I started to throw a drum twirl in during the beat. That's what I did. I do remember that.
So. Just to be cool, like you thought.
Like, yeah, I was trying to be like.
That's weird because I did the same thing, but playing keyboards. I would just take the drumstick and every once in a while, you know,
do twirl.
I remember that, James.
Toby would be around. Yeah, just
I remember
drum
that.
Twirl in there. It's really weird. We have the same nervous tick.
All right, we got one. We can talk about whatever you want to. I just got one more question from the listeners, that is. Y'all want another one?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Do you have a name?
Yeah, this one's from Carla S.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is one I like because I think people ask terrible questions all the time because they're super vague and what, you know what I mean? There's a lot of bad questions, but this one's awesome because it's specific. Carla S. asked, how many copies of the question did you sell? Simple question.
I want to say I believe at this point in the year 2015 that is over 200,000. So right around 200,000.
I can't
more.
Confirm that, but I know it's well north of 180. So that's probably
officially. I think last time I saw an official number, it was 173.
No, yeah, it's definitely north of 180. I don't know if
this was years ago.
What year was that? It was like 1982. You saw that.
But that was according to Wikipedia or whatever. And this was several years ago. It was 173.
You can't trust Wikipedia.
Yeah,
what does Wikipedia say about Seth, our first drummer? What do they call it? What is his
beef?
Yeah, it's like
beef.
A false beef. Nickname.
Is it Beef?
Yeah.
It's a Seth Beef Studley.
Seth Beef Studley.
So I don't know if people understand the scope.
Matt.
Go ahead, Joey.
Matt Strobel on Twitter wants to know what is the question. Have y'all ever really revealed the meaning of that concept?
The question is each song title, too.
Yeah.
So there's a line in the liner in the artwork that says, where were you when I was ... or ellipsis or whatever that is. And then each song title answers is the second half of that question. So where were you when I was so cold I could see my breath? Where were you when I was misbehaving? Where were you when I was in a win-win situation?
Our good friend Levi the Poet just tweeted in. He said he remembers when the question came out and that his friend was pissed with the lyric from Freddie Mercury, the end of it. It's not our job to make anyone believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what is crazy is we were doing lyric sheets for this thing for a bunch of people that contributed to the crowdfund. And so we had to write down all the lyrics. So I was getting to read a lot of the lyrics, and I had to handwrite them, which is what you do for somebody when you want them to learn or memorize something. And it made me like really pay attention to the lyrics that I hadn't paid attention that much to. And I was riding out, listening to Freddie Mercury on our plane ride back from Hawaii last week, and I realized, I thought about this before and we wrote it down before, but a lot of the what precipitated Bad Christian was that line, it's not our job to make anyone believe, and the confessional part there where we're talking about the people's names, Joey, Sarah, Bridget, all that stuff in there. And then I was looking at all the lyrics like in the first half of the song, which I wasn't even that familiar with them and what the screaming lyrics is and everything. And it's crazy to look back on 2005 and think that a ton of the frustrations and things that we had with the way people are, the way the church is, you know, the way stuff is, that was in our music. And obviously all credit to Toby for writing the lyrics. I didn't even know them. But that really, all those things are very, very true today as far as what motivates us and what our position is and what our stance is on stuff. It's been in our lyrics for 10 years. And so now we articulate it in this way on the podcast or talking in conversation. But this exact same content has been really with us and voiced in our music for the whole time, which makes me feel even more solid about what we're doing. Yeah. Because it's not fly by night. It's actually, I mean, the themes that are on the question, and specifically that song Freddie Mercury, that's almost the mission statement of Bad Christian. So I think it's awesome. I love those lyrics, and writing them all down made me really realize it. But it's kind of crazy. I know we're spending this whole episode talking about the question, but the tie-in to what that song on the question and much of the lyrics from back then to what we're doing today, I find them to be inextricable. They're just exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think
totally
that's really neat.
And I want to say right now, we're actually, as you're listening to this, we're on tour right now. So check our website, emerymusic.com, and we might be in your city tonight. So definitely come listen. But we got one more Twitter question, and I thought it was kind of funny because we're playing most of the question on this tour. And they asked, why didn't we just call it Third Street? And I don't know if our listeners understand that, but there's an interlude part in between one of the songs called, and it just says, in between 4th and 2nd Street.
Uh-huh. And well, that Third Street would be.
Right. But I'm going to bust them because 4th Street is going south, and the North Streets are 2nd, 3rd, 4th. So it's not 3rd Street intersects with 4th Street. It's not in between.
Well, it'd be streets and avenues then. What? Avenues go one way, streets go the other way, right?
No, that's true.
I think it depends on the city you live in.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't. So you're saying that they don't go first, second, third, fourth, fifth? That's not.
I'm saying. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that might.
Hey,
be cool,
I've got a question, and I really feel bad, and I'm going to feel really bad after I ask it.
Why don't we get to finish our question?
That's the second time.
Oh,
really.
I'm
out of
sorry,
control, man.
It's bad sound, guys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow. Go ahead.
We were just joking. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Who is Sarah? I forgot who Sarah is.
That was Joel's old girlfriend.
Okay. Gotcha.
Joel Green, our old bass player. But the 4th and 2nd Street, I guess maybe they're right.
Where did you come up with it, though? I mean, you came up with it. What did you mean when you said 4th and 2nd Street?
It was just in between 4th and 2nd Street, so it could actually be 3rd Street.
3rd Street.
That sounds way I was on 3rd Street. That doesn't sound as good, does it?
Not as ambiguous. The lyrics need a little bit of ambiguity.
Totally.
People know exactly where you're going.
All right, we done with the questions for this?
Yeah,
that's
more than we've ever had.
Joey, you love music. Self-proclaimed, you know, music pedophile. Is that right?
What?
A musicophile? What's it called?
Audiophile.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Emery? Because, I mean, you're a big music fan.
No, because you guys don't really like fan questions.
No, if you have a question, ask it.
If it's good.
Well, no, because y'all don't like fan questions. So I'm actually
a fan
of Emery. So I could ask friend questions, but those aren't Emery questions. So, I mean, I really am interested. I mean, is obviously this is an album that you guys have listened to recently. I totally get. Oh, what's your favorite song on Week's End? Well, first of all, we wrote that over 10 years ago, and second of all, we don't listen to it that much, and we don't really care to answer that question. But with this being a newer album, I actually do think it's a very relevant question. Hey, do you have a favorite song on there that you're just like, man, I really like how this song turned out? I think that's an interesting question. You guys think it's a bullshit question.
No, so. The answer completely, and I'll stick by this, it happened to me yesterday. Whenever somebody asks me, do I have a favorite song on this, or was your favorite song played live, or favorite whatever, I always make up an answer.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always thinking, crap, I've got to ask that question. I have to have an answer. And then something will come to mind, like a song will pop in my head, and I'll think, ooh, that would sound like a real answer that somebody would give, and I'll just give that answer, and then I'll feel relieved that I thought of an answer to that question. But no, not even at all. I don't have any possible close to fair. I don't even think of it that way. So that
well,
sounds
for the
stupid,
record,
but I don't have any favorite. I don't even think about it that way. And I'm relieved
well,
when
can
I can think of a fake answer
can I tell
just
you my
to tell
three
somebody
favorites?
To get them off my back.
Can I tell you my three favorites?
Yeah.
Three?
Your favorites are more valid than mine, would be my point of view. That's what I'm saying. If somebody, other people's favorites are way more valid than mine. That my favorite is not even a thing. But what are your favorites?
All right. My three favorites is Oregon BB Final Mix, Rock Pebble Stone BB Final Mix, and Thrash BB Final Mix.
Great.
Now, I don't know why they're all called BB Final Mix, but that's what it says on my iTunes.
Okay, so some of those are working titles, and that's not actually titles on the song, and BB Final Mix means Bo Birchall, the guy that mixed it, and that was the final mix he sent to us. So you're listening to not even the mastered version of the album.
Which means you haven't bought it yet.
Which means you clearly haven't bought it or joined the BC Club, either one. But that's what that means. So you're listening to the mixes that we got sent from the mixer. Yeah, Bo from Seosin mixed it. So, Joe,
which
you
no
should.
One in the band is supposed to share, and we all know who shared it with him.
So the leak of the album is obviously Joey's fault. Joey, thank you. Thank you to the BC Club and you guys that did. Hopefully you already got your albums. Hopefully everybody always likes it. Thank you guys for letting us talk about the question a little bit tonight. And please do join the BC Club.
Hey, real quickly. I know this sounds crazy and way off topic, but I might have done something just really bad.
What?
Well, we're on tour, right?
Yeah.
And our bus has a bathroom, right?
Right.
With a window. I had to pee, so I thought it would be really funny just hanging out by myself if I peed out that little tiny window. So I started peeing out the window, and I think somebody might have walked by, and they were laughing, but I'm scared that I potentially peed
on. You think you might have peed on somebody?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. So we have to end this podcast so we can get the hell out
of
here.
Hey, Andy, start the bus.
I thought of – you ever do
– Start the bus.
You ever do funny stuff by yourself?
Hey, you know what
– as funny as I thought.
You know what happened – you know what happened to my dad?
What?
He was on a road trip. He was a little kid. And him and his brother were in the back seat, and they were with their grandma, and my dad really had to pee, and so my grandma said, hey, just pee in this cup. And so, you know, we were talking about another episode where Toby
instead
said
took a shit.